This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Been There, Done That with Chris, Gordon and Phil. And, yes. Gentlemen.
How are you, Chris?
Exhaustipated, thank you.
You're exhaustipated, are you? Yes. You've been running around a bit, haven't you? Yes.
But still, it's nice to know that everything works, the legs included. Yes. Phil, yes. Good afternoon.
And to you.
And it's good to be back in the studio because last week we were down at the Town Hall, which was totally different to sitting in a studio.
It certainly was
certainly
totally
was a
different.
Very different
Although
thing.
I must say there's a severe lack of muffins in the studio.
Yes, we don't have muffins here now. That's right. Yes, we did. Anyhow, and you've had a very busy week, Chris, of course.
Well, yes, because I had to not only knock together last week's two-hour program, I also had to do the memorabilia exhibition. Yes. I had to curate that. I've never curated anything like that before, but there you go. I did it, and people seem to be quite pleased with the results.
You've had the curate's egg, though, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Good in places, not so good in others.
Yes. So what are we going to do today, Chris?
Well, we've got a mixed bag of things because our program is history. History program.
Yes.
Not only gay history, but joy history and world history and Australian history. And one of the most important things that happened around about this time on this day.
On this day was, well, it was this day over in New York at the 8th of
December.
In 1980, yeah.
Yeah, on December the 8th, Monday, John Lennon
was shot.
Was shot by a deranged assassin.
Yeah. The funny part about it is he had John Lennon autograph his one of his albums and then shot him.
Yeah.
Because he said he heard voices to tell him to shoot John Lennon. Now, I mean to say, people that hear voices are a bit strange, I think, yeah. But it was it wasn't very good, anyhow.
And of course, you'd imagine that in this day and age, celebrities of any sort would actually have some form of protection. But there they were in New York, which was, even in the 80s, a rough and tough place.
Well, New York has always been one of those places where you don't make eye contact with people. I've walked down the streets of New York and you just don't look at people. You just keep your eyes going ahead. You'd found that, didn't you, Phil?
I found I had to get eye contact because I hadn't realised at that point that I should have been writing on or walking on the right side of the footpath.
Yes, that's
so
true.
So I ran into everybody in New York.
Oh, that's where you should have made eye contact so that you knew you could dodge them rather than walk into them.
But, John Lennon, though, was living in some very high-end apartments.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been gated secure.
That apartment, they had trouble even getting into there, I have a vague feeling, because the rest of the tenants didn't really want them there.
It would have been a little controversial for that neighbourhood.
Because those neighbourhoods, they have the committee that live in the place, they vote whether you can live there or not.
This is what we now call the Owners Corporation.
The Owners Corporation.
They probably have more power than that.
Yeah. But he was living there, and he and Yoko were just coming home from a recording session as well, from another record that they were doing.
Let's hope it wasn't something Yoko was doing.
Oh, well, she may have been doing something, yeah. But that was it, yeah. So it's an unusual place to be.
And, of course, it was a loss to the world. It wasn't just a nobody that gunned down.
No.
They had been so instrumental in changing the voice, the sound of music.
Well, of course they did. That's right. And
the 50s had the crossover from the country rock into real rock.
Yeah.
And then they softened it somewhat and brought melody back in.
But they were a four-piece boy group too, which was quite unusual at the time. They were, you know, that they could all play instruments as well,
yes,
which was rather good. But of course, from the Beatles, they had to do something about it, so they developed the Monkees, which then appeared on television. that was where the Monkees came from. They wanted to create a band, much like the Beatles, but for the television audience.
Well, the Beatles were initially called Johnny and the Moondogs, and then they went to the Silver Beatles, then Beatles.
But weren't they the Quarrymen?
We were discussing this earlier.
They were the Quarrymen originally, I thought, rather than Johnny and the...
I can't remember.
Oh, dear.
Not too sure about these Moondogs.
You're on Joy 94.9. Been there, done that. Gordon, Phil and Chris.
Joy 94.9. The freshest sounds from around the world.
Time's flying. Time's flying.
Are we having fun?
I tell you what, I was a bit saddened to hear that item in the news about Stella Young.
Indeed.
And it was really, because she was such a wonderful personality. I used to hear her occasionally on the ABC. Wonderful, wonderful personality from all that she had to put up with, you know, with the disability and everything. Well, and a great advocate for disability services.
Well, I heard her in a later extract on 774 where she was talking about she didn't see her abilities as restrictive.
No, she didn't. She never did. She was very, very up there, always out there as well, too.
She didn't see disabilities as we see them.
And she did something. She was working with the ABC in some position as a disability person or something.
Advocacy role.
So, and good luck to her, you know. But it's just sad that she's gone, because she was in the last comedy festival as well. She built up a comedy routine. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Anecto, our program that will be on Wednesday at midday, will probably make mention of her
too.
Work as well. But, it's interesting when you're overseas to notice how, okay, I'm only talking about the old cities of Europe, that they are not at all friendly towards anybody who is walking with a stick or on wheels of any sort like that.
I'd like to disprove that one. If you're in London and you want to go to the theatre and you've got a walking stick, you get great seats.
Oh, you're not supposed to use your stick like that, Gordon.
Yeah, but it happened to a friend of mine. He had to go over there and he'd broken his ankle.
Yeah.
And he had a stick. And he thought he'd get a seat in the gods, a cheap seat in the gods. And the woman said, oh, no, she said, you can't put you up there. She said, here's a seat. She said, about three rows from the front in a show that was just about sold out.
Wow.
And I'm going to open a shop. Across the road.
He said it was absolutely wonderful.
Plastic casts for the hire of.
Or just walking sticks, rental by the hour.
Yes, so it does happen at some places like that in London, with the theatres, yeah.
Oh, my goodness me. It's interesting, though, that we actually are well-served here in Australia with our DDA laws. Yeah, regulations. The trains used to be not level. The carriages' entries and exits used to be level with the platforms. So they've all in Victoria seem to have adjusted the levels, either lifting the rails up or putting another layer on the platform.
But some trains, some platforms, they still... On Hampton Line, the driver still gets out to help them on with a chair or a ramp down to get them in. You know,
definitely. So, but I think there's a minimum now of about 200.
Yeah.
is the difference that's tolerable. But it's dreadful when you've got something that you think is working nicely, and then all of a sudden you realise, oh dear.
Well, what do you do when it's 540 kilometres out in space?
Exactly. Phil, what was the story behind
you? Call a serviceman.
Okay.
For the Hubble Space Telescope.
And how does he get there? On a ladder?
Well, you could, but ladders aren't cheap.
No.
They went the cheaper way and used the space shuttle.
Oh.
Much cheaper. Anyway, they had to send guys up to adjust the mirror on the Hubble telescope because it had some deformations.
Ooh.
Which I don't know whether they couldn't see them on Earth because of gravity or what the problem was. But there's a joke, because I used to live very near where the telescope was made.
Yes.
And the telescope was made by the Hughes Aircraft Corporation, which was a division of General Motors.
Uh-oh.
And General Motors, on all their cars, have a little thing on the mirror that says objects may be closer than they appear.
Yes.
So the local paper ran a story when the Hubble was being repaired, and there's a cartoon there. Two astronauts have just opened up the mirror cavity and there's etching on the mirror. It says, objects may be closer than they appear. They polished that off and it worked.
Oh, good, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because once they moved that and got the mirror in correct position, the photos that they were able to send back of further out in space were absolutely magnificent photos.
Yeah, well, with the defect, the quality of picture was about the same as you could get on an Earth-bound telescope,
which
made the thing kind of pointless.
We made pointless spending millions of dollars to get the bloody thing up there. But now, with the mirror, they don't have to do anything more with it. They could just leave it up there and just get whatever they're looking for.
Oh, well, I hope it stays in space correctly, in the right position, because I'm thinking, you know, normally you sit a telescope on a tripod and there's no firm object up there really for it to sit on, is there?
Not really. Presumably, but there's nothing to bump it either.
There's nothing. No. Well, I guess the only thing that they would have to worry about was if some other space junk hit it. Mm. Or a flying little meteorite piece or something, right? Yeah. Which would shatter the whole thing.
So how would they turn it around? I suppose there's a little... Do radio they turn controls. the whole telescope or the whole space object?
They'd probably move it with retro rockets.
Wow.
So and that happened. Term out in the 1960s.
Okay, so there will be an if they are using retro rockets, then someone will have to go up and recharge the gas canisters.
They were originally planned for it to come back to Earth every 5 years. That was in its design.
That's right.
They just go up there with a shuttle and bring it down again.
But it's been up there 11 years.
They dumped that plan.
They don't have to.
Yeah.
They haven't got shuttles.
Wow.
But I very nearly got to see the Hubble itself when it was on the ground.
The Hubble bubble.
The Hubble telescope was in Sunnyvale, California, where I lived.
Oh.
And I actually got into the building where it was being stored in a clean room. But because I ticked the visitor's book being an Australian citizen, I wasn't allowed in that part of the building.
Oh, no.
So the moral of that story is don't tell the truth until you know what you're missing.
Oh, yeah.
That could help a hell of a lot.
Yes.
Have you ever had things that you bought and needed servicing well and truly before they've end of life?
Well, it's surprising that lots of things are made now to go out of thing right at the right time. Like batteries in your mobile phone, they're usually made to last 2 years so that you are then required to get a new phone.
Planned obsolescence.
Obsolescence, yes.
There might be some old wives' tale in there.
Yeah, but it probably is, but it seems to work because after 2 years, my other phone packed it, so I got a new one.
Oh, right.
But,
that's justification. But, you wanted the new one.
Yeah, true. But I have it. I don't know whether I'm very lucky, but my refrigerator at home I bought in 1968 and it still works beautifully.
So one day you'll plug it in.
Yes, one day I'll plug it in, yes. But it was never any guarantee or anything, you know, you just bought it. It was actually made by General Motors, who no longer exist in Australia, I feel. Yeah, but it's done me very, very well.
Well, you know.
That's 40-something years ago.
Oh, that's very well done.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we can't do that with pets, so you can't shoot the dog.
Oh, all right.
You're
on
joy.
Anyhow.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
Yes.
Phil's going to tell us about something.
I have a prize.
You have it?
I do. It's a CD album from Emma Pask, Seasons of My Heart, the Christmas album. Tracks include Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, That You Santa Claus, Santa Claus Got Stuck in My Chimney, Silent Night, and many more. Thanks.
I want to see how Santa got stuck in the chimney.
Sounds like a great album, actually. I think sometimes I get a little bit bored with the old ones, the old repeated ones.
They've been playing in the supermarket since the beginning of November.
Oh, I don't worry. Someone told me this is an Easter fair in one of these supermarkets already.
Oh.
Excuse I, hello.
Yeah, but why does it that probably comes from a thing that happened in Australia dating from 1901, where it took us a long time to become actually Australian, because it wasn't until December the 11th in 1942, October the 9th, I beg your pardon, in 1942, that we actually became a freestanding country of our own.
We'd been given a little bit of a nod back in 31
yeah,
by
that's right.
Westminster.
There was a statute.
Can I just impose a small thought here?
Mm.
I'd like to officially announce Gordon's Australia Day rant starts today.
So
instead of waiting till January 26th,
that starts now. Yeah, but that was the 9th of October, actually, in 1942, in the middle of the war, that Australia finally ratified the Statute of Westminster that made us a complete country rather than a dominion of the British Isles or the British government. Because until then, we couldn't choose our own Governors General. We couldn't do anything. We had to revert back to the English Parliament for most things.
It was like the Queen ran the place.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did do. The British Parliament did. It wasn't that. But we had become a country in 1901, but we were still only a dominion of the British Empire. And it wasn't until the 9th of October 1942 that we actually became Australia, which we ruled ourselves.
Well, yes, but there was still a connection there
with the state
governors and the governor general. And it wasn't until the 60s or 70s
that
governor general position ceased to be an English person, basically dropped in so that he knew how to speak to the Queen.
But we were still able to choose our own if we wanted to at that stage, but it was just one of those things.
I like the sound of Dominion, though. Sounds like a really cool club.
Well, we're part of a Dominion. Yeah, the Dominion of Canada.
Whereas once we become independent, we'll just be Australians.
Australians. Yeah, that's right.
Not Dominionese. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Oh, right, you've thrown that in. But what about the flora and fauna?
Well, back in 1903, we sort of think that some of these environmental organisations are the invention of this particular generation, or perhaps the generation that's just gone ahead before us. But back in 1903, over 110 years ago, the first Wildlife Preservation Society was founded, and it was all because some people with consciences had seen what was happening in Africa.
Mm.
And what they'd seen there must have been so terrible to prompt them into action.
Well, everybody was just going down there and shooting animals for fun, weren't they?
Well,
you know,
wasn't so
not
much,
the animals.
Exactly. And look what's still happening with the rhinos. They'll be extinct.
And elephants for their tusks, but they are supposed to not be. There's supposed to be a ban on ivory trade, but they're still trading in ivory.
Yeah.
But I would imagine these people were a bunch of very well dressed people in a very formal meeting place.
Exactly.
Not the long haired, smelly tree huggers we know of today.
But Australia is not immune from this, because we are wiping out so many different species every year. We are getting down to things that are dying off and everything.
Yeah, we've got good stocks of cane toads, though. And plenty of rabbits.
Oh, yes. Well, they were introduced, of course, for rabbits for hunting specials.
By people much smarter than we are.
Much smarter than we are. And cane toads were brought in to stop the Cactoblastis cactorum.
I'm not sure you can use that language on air.
No. Were they?
Yeah. Cactoblastis cactorum was the prickly pear.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to come in.
Not cane toads. No, cane toads were for the sugar.
Yeah, it was the other thing beetle. For the Cactoblastis cactorum. Yes.
Hence the name cane toad.
Yeah.
Yes, hello. Yeah. But the Cactoblastis, actually the fruits from them are very, very tasty.
Yeah, I know, I've eaten them.
And you find them in the market.
Yeah. And
but the actual tree that they live on can get out of, despite the harsh conditions that it enjoys, it still managed to get rampant.
Yes, that's right. But I was reading an article the other day that baboons love the fruit of the cactus.
Oh, good. Well, what we should do then is import maybe a small school of baboons. They can go through and feed all the cactus blasters that we've got, the blasted cactuses got here in Australia.
Yeah.
We can round them up and send them back home.
Cactoblastis cactorum were the worms that ate the cactus that killed it. That was the idea.
We need to find something that eats baboons.
Yes. All right.
Anyhow, we've had
starting to look like an episode of The Simpsons.
We've had a message here from Guy. Thanks, Phil, for clearing up our country status. Keep up with great work, boys. From Guy.
Well, I'm glad he respects my work. I have a feeling he might have been winking as he was typing. But
I would imagine so. Yes. He was thinking, I'll give that Phil one here.
Yes. He can put in an emoticon in there for us this time.
So Fauna and Flora International have been around for 111 years, which is very good, because they have saved a lot of stuff over the years.
And what happens in places where man hasn't influenced things? Galapagos Islands.
Well, that's right. And you've got where man has influenced things, of course, is the rainforests up in Indonesia and in South America, where they've been just pulling them all down, and the people that actually live there, the people that lived there for centuries, are now having to try to find somewhere else to live, because they have actually lived out of the forests.
Well, man is going to kill the earth, but not nature.
Nothing. Climate change is not happening.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Abbott. Stop using products that use palm oil.
Yes.
And that will start to solve the problem.
All right, then.
Help.
How do we know whether they've got palm oil in water?
Well, see, that's the problem. You go to read your ingredients and they start calling palm oil other names.
Yes, they use other names for it. So
we can't win. Yeah. Let's just burn the place down.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But it's very hard to stop it, because the problems with the population's expanding the way it is, it means that we're going to have to use more of the land and all the rest of it for thing. And I see that West Australia in the news this morning, they're thinking of cutting down something like about 500,000 acres of trees or something rather to put farmland in.
Wow, that's not good.
That round out Esperance Way, it is. Yeah.
When I was a youngster and going on holidays with my parents, we actually travelled from through the Otway Ranges in Western Victoria, and Dad's driving, he's looking at, oh, look at all these lovely trees. Oh, we could cut them down. Think what we could make with them. He was a carpenter by trade, mm-hmm. and all he could see there was sawn logs.
That's right.
And other people go into that and they say, oh, what a beautiful scene. I want to paint it. Don't cut it down. This is exactly what I need. I need that inspiration. Other people go in there and they can see hidden wonders that the rest of us don't understand.
But they forget all about the animals and things that live in the old trees, where they're using the knot holes and everything, the birds, the owls and the koala bears, and also koalas, I think, but they're not bears, live in trees, you know. And they just cut them all down. And what are these people going to use for habitat, you know?
Well, it's good that some of the earth care people are actually joining now pockets of green and forests with fence line plantings of shrubs and trees that then become the link between these forest areas. Mm. And so there's highways for the animals to use. I think
they're giving a clear path for the
canto. There's a highway for the animals out here in Ringwood somewhere, where they've built a tunnel underneath the road.
The Mullum Mullum.
Yeah, so that the animals could get through from one side to the other.
That's where you can see all these confused possums trying to read the instructions.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, Phil.
You with Gordon, Phil and Chris, been there, done that, Joy 94.9.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are with Phil, Gordon and Chris, been there, done that, Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us today. I've got a little jokey type thing. A will is a dead giveaway.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It is.
It is a dead giveaway.
Well, it used to be. And in fact, my friend in Germany tells me that a will is actually giving with a cold hand. And he suggests that quite often it's better to actually give with a warm hand, meaning that while you're still alive,
give it away.
Give it away. So I think that's actually not a bad way to think of things, because whilst you've written things down in a will, it's probably never going to be up to date as you want it to be. Mm-hmm. And someone has advised us, warned us that, of course, in this technological age, that we've got so much on the net
that is
hidden behind passwords and logins and things like this. You know, your bank accounts. Normally what you do to a lawyer is say, well, you've got access to my bank account. But if, in fact, you haven't given him the password and the login, he can't get in there to do what he has to do as a lawyer, executor of your estate.
Yeah, because it's a thing to have that sort of thing down. But I have an ordinary will, which I made out a few years ago, but I'm going to have to change it very shortly. But one of the things, when I read this thing, I thought, yes, well, there's a lot in that. As with all this technology that we've got now, you've got sites like LinkedIn and Facebook and stuff. Mm. You've got stuff on there, and you don't know how to get it out. If you don't have a password to get it out, you're not going to be able to get it out. And some of your relatives or friends might appreciate what's there.
Well, you know, just imagine if you've got a Facebook account.
Mm.
It's going to be receiving, it's going to get clogged up or whatever.
If you don't
perhaps
stop
you
it.
Need to let all your friends know that, in fact, I'm talking to you from the grave.
That's exactly right.
So you send them an email saying, I'm planning on dying on the 12th. Don't send me any more messages.
Doesn't work like that.
Can I just
mention that Nina has sent us a message?
Oh.
Yes, she said, I have been looking forward to listening to your fantastic program, and it has really cheered me up, as I haven't been very well.
Oh.
Kind regards from Nina. Nina, I hope you're feeling all well right now. Oh, you know, that's no good being sicky.
Yeah, it's nice to have the power of healing, though.
Yes.
Didn't know I had that.
Well, there you go. There's a little word, healing. Mm. And Old English, when you received healing, you had good health.
Mm.
The word. And not often, people don't often realise that health is actually
part
when you have been healed from something. Because for a lot of people, their life was full of diseased moments.
Dis-ease.
Dis-ease.
Yes.
There you, oh, Thank you, Phil.
See, these words are very clever.
Yes, I'm actually just reading a book about the 1600s.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting book because they've written lots of words that are Old English. The Old English spelling. You have to know your English to be able to understand what's being read, what's being said. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Anyhow, back to wills.
Indeed. Yes, go for it. Tell me more.
The thing is that you need to make notes of everything you've got, but with your things like Facebook and banking accounts that you do on the internet and all that sort of thing, if you change your passwords all the time, you've got to keep a record of those and keep them separate from your will, but mention in the will where you've kept them so that people can actually go and find...
Hmm.
Once they've read your will, they can go and find the passports to get into your bank accounts, to get into your Facebook, to get into whatever that you've got on your thing.
Well, see, I've got two documents. I've got my will, and I've also got an envelope for the executor. And their instructions for the executor, signed by me, by a witness, in the same form as a will would be. Hmm. But that includes a lot of instructions, what to do with such and such. Okay, take this to the tip. Make sure that all my movies go to so-and-so who will appreciate them.
Oh,
all
yes.
my motor car books can go to someone else.
And what are you doing with the toys?
Taking them with him.
Take him.
And you'll have that note that you were killed in the parlour by the maid.
Yes.
And don't call in Hercule Poirot. Everything was okay.
Yeah. What got us into this was lexophilia, when you started talking wills.
Philia is the love of words.
Lexophilia is, yes.
Yes, yeah. Words like you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish.
Nope.
To write with a broken pen is pointless.
That's right.
The batteries were given out free of charge.
There's so many of them.
The thief who stole a calendar got 12 months.
Stop it.
There are so many of them that you could just go on and on forever, but I can't explain the one that I wrote down for the guys in here because you actually have to read it. It doesn't translate when you speak it because you have to be able to read it and work out what I've
written. Well, I hope that Nina didn't have to go to the doctor, but if she did, well, acupuncture is a jab. Well done.
That's did you hear the about the fellow it? Whose entire left side was cut off? He's all right now.
There's several people in Parliament that go to this. They had a photographic memory that was never developed.
Okay.
Oh, that's like
too
a guy who
much.
Fell into an upholstery machine, but now he's fully recovered.
Yes. I think it's have a piece of music. What have we got? We got Queen, another one bites the dust.
At this point, we'll take anything.
You're on Joy 94.9, been there, done that.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne, joy.org.au for the world.
That was Queen and with the Miami Project. Another one bites the dust, a little bit up tempo.
That's sort of apropos of what we were talking about, wills, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Yeah, another one bites the dust.
We're a cheerful bunch today, aren't we?
But John from Victoria Street in Elstonwick has rung in.
Well, we didn't mention the street.
But I know him because he's a faithful listener of Joy. Ah. Thank you, John.
Well, he says I can leave him my toys, but I haven't finished with them. So there you go.
He's still got the wind-up ones.
He who dies with the most toys wins.
Yes, there we are. Yeah. Now, we've got a couple of birthdays happening in this week. One of the things is that we've had Dan Hartman, and if I'd really known this beforehand, he was actually born in 1950 on the 8th of December, and he was the one who had the song Instant Replay, which was very, very popular about 30 years ago. But if you're too young to remember that, I was going to replay it for you, but anyway, not to worry.
But
there
what about the other fellow that was born on the 8th of December as well? Probably the greatest entertainer of all time.
Well, yes.
But he would have been the greatest entertainer of all time. Sammy Davis Jr. could do anything, that man. Absolutely magic.
And he was another one of these people who, because of his colour, was actually locked out of general society.
That's right.
He might have been the top starring performer, but he still had to sleep in the...
And had to enter the hotel, the top class hotel where he was performing in the
through
room,
through
the servants' entrance or the kitchen to go up to the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Not afforded the appropriateness. Of course, hopefully those days are going. But another one who's got a birthday later on this month is on the 13th of December, Anthony Clear, born in 1982.
Yes, the little he was one of the dwarfs in Wicked, wasn't he?
What? Was he?
He played one of the dwarfs in Wicked, the stage show, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was the.
He's not that short.
He's not that short, I know, but
and he's grown up.
Yeah, but they were. He was playing that there. Yeah.
And he's a successful gay man.
Oh, yes. And he's married his partner in.
Well and truly married there.
Yep. They married in New Zealand.
He was outed by a Sydney traffic reporter, which really makes you wonder what he was doing.
Oh.
Well,
I can't imagine that.
Can't imagine that at all.
And it's interesting too that our newly elected state government is suggesting that they're going to put some legislation through which will allow those in Victoria who've been married overseas in a gay relationship,
right,
same-sex relationship, will have that recognised here as well.
And we've also the first state to have a equality minister, a minister for equality,
yes,
Martin Foley. From down at Albert Park. He's going to be our thing and he's going to be looking after our interests. Thank you very much, Mr. Andrews and Mr. Foley.
Well, it's about time for us to go. You're going to be sticking around, aren't you, Gordon?
I'll be playing music for the next hour. Yeah.
Well,
so wonderful. Under state government authority, we're going to play some Anthony Clear.
Oh, well,
I thought that's where you were going.
Yeah,
okay. It'll be after some
messages, as we call them. Lovely to have your company. Check with you next week.
Yeah.
Now,
bye for now.
Get well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. joy.org.au for the world.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.